take just a moment to thank the elders for the opportunity to bring a lesson before you today, and also the church here. I'm certain that Mike had a good bit to do with me speaking today in this particular lesson. He and Gwen came up during the meeting at Columbia and heard this lesson, and he thought it would be beneficial to all of us to recount these things again for the group here. And I'm glad to do so. I wish I could say these things to all of God's people the world over. I think it can benefit us, and what I hope will happen today is that you'll be built up and encouraged by the things that you hear. I say without reservation that I'm among, some of the best people on the planet in this room. I am fully persuaded of that in my own mind. And it's a joy to talk about these type things around good people. And it's good to be here today around people that are trying to do what's right, that are sincere, conscientious. And our topic today will serve them well, for sure. What we want to talk about today is the fact that we will see the King someday. I want to talk about that day. There is a great day coming. A great day. And I'd like to discuss that day from our vantage point. I can talk about the judgment day and the fiery day that it will be, but that's not really where we'll be coming from in particular today. I really am coming from the perspective that the apostles talked often about as they tried to set the record straight for Christians about this day. A lot of false teaching about the judgment day and the events thereof. What happens when we die? What about the resurrection? What about our existence? Are we out of existence, as Tim mentioned in our Bible class, or will we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? What happens on that day? When will we get to heaven? But I'd like to talk about the events leading up to that great abode that we all long for. And I hope as we go along that we can set the record straight. If in fact any among us have grown discouraged, getting tired, of waiting, the Lord has been long-suffering toward us, delayed his coming for our benefit. And so that to encourage you to just hold on, a little longer, and then he'll return in his own time. And if you will remain faithful, you'll be well served. It'll all be worthwhile. But look, if you will, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'd like to begin there because I think it says best why this lesson. Why did I choose this lesson? 1 Thessalonians 4, and it's a lengthy reading, but bear with me. I think it will serve us well. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13, Paul says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." You know, that's important to know, isn't it? Those that have gone on, your mates, others. They'll get to go first. They're gone now. You know, we don't have them. We miss them. But they'll get to go first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And this is why I chose this lesson. Look at what he says. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, now this is us, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And then verse 9, you know, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify each other, just as you also are doing. So, why this lesson? I hope to comfort the church here, the saints here at this place today. You can see from this reading that Paul is saying the Christian doesn't have any reason to fear this day. You know, we long for this day. It's a good day for you and I. And Paul, as he was explaining to Timothy, talked about this day. He told Timothy, "For I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him." Your translation might say, "against that day," or "until that day." Say, whatever you're going through, whatever you're enduring, whatever you've gone through, it's recorded and being kept. And it'll meet you and I at the judgment scene. We can count on that. Every act of kindness, it'll show up. Now, we might get slighted here. You don't always get credit for what you do here. We're misunderstood on this side. And we're cheated and we're swindled and we get beat out of things on this side, but not on that day. Paul said, "I'm persuaded he's able to keep what I've committed to him." Every act will be counted. Every pie you've baked, every trip you've taken, every loved one you've lost and remained faithful. See, so many abandon God when things don't go well, but not you and I, not God's people. And we can rest assured that every single one of those things will await us at the judgment day. You can count on that. Why this lesson? Well, Jesus talked about this day extensively. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, Jesus says, "Many will say unto me in that day." See, here's that day. "We shall see the King some day." That's the day under consideration. "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Can you see what's going on here? You and I have, we have clear hindsight. They're before Jesus. They're standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, whether the apostles, who were actually chosen during this sermon, if you will, during that time, they were up in the mountains, and he picked the 12 while they were up there. But be that as it may, whether they understood, you and I are clear that what's happening here is that some are having to explain their behavior, their religion. And here they go. Well, now, why, Lord, you see, they're having to stand and give account of themselves before God, like all the passages said. That's what's happening here. Look at the subject, Bible authority, and all the attempts to undo it, to do away with it. You know, we insist upon book, chapter, and verse. We have to read it. We have to see it to believe it. We don't buy every sermon. We test it. We try the spirits. Why? It's going to come up. It shows up on that day. Bible authority shows up. Even among brethren today, there's an attempt to undermine Bible authority, how we establish it. You know, we can be thankful Brother Hall has taken such painstaking steps to reiterate and to reinforce the importance of Bible authority. Good old-fashioned book, chapter, and verse. Why? Because we're going to have to answer for it. It's going to come up in that day. But look at what else is happening on that day. Jesus, whether they understood it or not, is saying, you're going to have to deal with me. Look at what he says. Many will say unto me. You see? You think they understood in the mountains then? What the scope of what he's saying? You know, we read that context and Jesus is proclaiming that one day you'll have to stand before me and give account. Why this day? Well, Jesus says when the Son of Man comes in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in all his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Wow. Stop a minute. let's grasp this. This passage says that when he comes, he won't be by himself. All. You get that team? All the holy angels will be with him. Now, I can't quite fathom that. The Bible talks about all these innumerable hosts and angels and legions of angels and all, but I can't picture all of them. But I can picture the glory. I can't even imagine when the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the holy angels with him. I'm getting chills just talking about it. Now, I've read in the Old Covenant where one of those beings could kill thousands. Just one of them. It'd be an easy day for him, won't it? I mean, when he comes in all his glory on the very last day, Well, he says that all the nations will be gathered before him. That seems like a big feat. It's a lot of nations, pretty big planet. He's got all the holy angels with him. Jesus explains, a parable, the parable of the tares. And he says now, the field is the world. And he says, the Son of Man will come. And he says, and guess who the reapers are? The angels. And he says, the Son of Man will send the angels to gather what has been bad in the kingdom, to take out things that offend. And those, guess what it says? Those who practice lawlessness out of the kingdom. You think Bible authority ain't important? You think doing something when you're not told to is pretty important? We're right. We've been right the whole time for expecting, insisting upon book, chapter, and verse for all that we do. Through all the criticism we may take, we are right, stand firm, continue to stand, and it'll continue more and more to be undermined. So you can see it, I mean, it just bores people to tears. It angers them when you say, where's the verse? Where's the passage? And so you keep on keeping on. It'll show up on the last day. But he says he'll send the angels to gather them up. You remember the disciple says, tell us about that parable, you see. Tell us about it. And he gives some insights into that day. The angels, when the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the holy angels with him. It'd be pretty easy to get the nations together, seems to me. That's a scary day, a powerful day, and a lot goes on that day. Well, another reason I chose this lesson is that an apostle, when he was in a Bible study, he brought it up. In his discussion with Felix, who we just discussed in the Bible class this morning. Guess what he talked about in that study with Felix? Felix had called for him for a Bible study. I want to talk to you about the way. And guess what Paul brought up? Self-control, righteousness, and the judgment. So we're on safe ground when we talk about the judgment. You're on safe ground if you bring it up at a Bible study. Now, I'm not sure what he was scared of. I know the judgment, we ought to certainly be scared of it. But you and I know that self-control is a pretty scary thing too. When you find out you can't do what you want to do in Christ, that he's Lord. You can't do what you want to do with your body, that we have to control our desires, our lust. That's pretty tough go. And to do what's right, he talked to him about righteousness, which he had no intentions of doing. He was so sorry. He didn't even let Paul go. He could have. He turned Paul over to the next guy. That's how sorry he was. He knew Paul was innocent, let Paul have all these leisures, and then when he could act and just say, now look, let the man go. What did he do? He got out of office, left Paul sitting there to rot in jail. That's how sorry he was. But guess what? Paul said, I know whom I believe. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep what I've committed to him. Now, see, we might get beat up. We might get lit up like Paul did. We might, and we do, we suffer on this side of it, on so many levels. We suffer. It's hard on the Christian a lot of times at work, in homes, in families, family members that aren't faithful. It's a battle. And we all know the torments involved in dealing with our family members. These battles, rest assured that it'll meet you at the judgment scene. He'll remember that you hung in there and did what was right. He'll remember you went to visit people. You baked the cake. He'll remember you went, you took care of others, took care of your family members. He'll remember all that you've done. It'll meet you there. We don't have any reason to worry about that day. I mean, if you're not going to do what's right, you do. but we don't have any reason to. You don't have any reason to fear that day. That's a great day on so many levels. Well, some would say, well, now what's so great about it? See, what's so great about that day? Well, I'd like to suggest several things. We shall all give account of ourselves on that day. You know, you can get away with stuff down here. People do it all the time. They get away with all, with bloody murder, as we say. Not on that day. That's the day that ends all days. See? We shall all give account of ourselves. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's the Christian and the non-Christian. That's the saint and the sinner. That's the good guy and the bad guy. We shall all stand. We just don't have anything to worry about. See, when we get there, all the cakes we baked, all the trips to the nursing home, all the assembling we've done, it'll show up. It'll meet us there. We're in good shape. I mean, as long as you're doing those kinds of things, you don't have much to worry about. You don't have anything to worry about. So just stay faithful, work, do what we do. Keep showing up here. Leave here. And we got to sign up. Leave to serve. See, we remind every time we walk out the door, leave to serve. And it shows up. How do we know? Well, one of the scenes in Matthew chapter 25, you remember, he has set the goats and the sheep. They done been separated. All the nations have been gathered, sheep, goats here. And then Jesus says, come, ye blessed. That's us. See, the good guys. Come, ye blessed. See, inherit the kingdom prepared. You see this day, what's been prepared for us is the kingdom, heaven. Come, ye blessed. See, we don't have anything to worry about on that day. But guess what? Now here's what happens though. We have to stand and give account, but look at what they said. Look at what the righteous said. Lord, when did we see you in a bind, in all these binds you've talked about, hungry, thirsty, sick, in prison, when did we see it? And he says, when you did it to the Christians. When you did it to the Christians, you did it to me. See, it shows up. See the scene? A Christian gets there and his works is there. See, that he didn't even know it. They didn't even know it. When did we do it? They said, when did we do it? You know? And he said, oh, you was when you served the Christians. When you came and remember him visit then? You's doing it to me? Come on. Come, you blessed. See? Every Kate Bate, it shows up. When you go do something for a Christian now, you've done something. You have done something. It'll meet you there on that side. See, it's all being counted. Don't ever give up. Don't get discouraged. And any slight you get, it won't happen on that day. See? Paul said, whatever I've gone through, I'm confident. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that. See, what I've committed to him. See, these beatings, them stonings at Lystra, at Iconium. See, Paul said, they'll meet me in the judgment. I'm confident that he's going to remember them beatings. See, whatever I've committed to him, he'll keep it, and it says against that day. See that day, what's happening is that it's all being kept up with. So keep on keeping on. Every pie, every cake, every visit, every prayer, it'll meet you in the judgment. You'll be in good shape. You'll be in real good shape. Well, what else is special about that day? There's a great day coming. Indeed. Jesus said, all that are in the graves will come forth. Now, again, boy, that's our people that's gone on. Look at the good men and women we've lost here of late. Last 3, 4, 5 years. Some of our best people we knew. Well, they in good shape. They in real good shape. That's the truth about it. They in better shape than you and I are in. You might remember, Paul says, now I'm in a betwixt between the two. Paul said, I want to die. I want to go on and be with the Lord. See? Be with who? The Lord. See? Now we with him now, but we in the battle. We in the heat of battle. Now, see, they resting. They do, you know, they all got it made, you might say, made in the shade right now. All of them that's gone on before us. And they get to go first. When Jesus shows back up, boom, they up there before we get there. See, they got it made now. I mean, that because they put in the work and it'll pay off in the judgment scene. There's a great day coming. But remember what happened to Lazarus? Poor Lazarus is in sores. He's struggling down here. He begging. He's a beggar. And then he dies. Remember what happens to him? One of those creatures that's going to show up with Christ gets him. See, when the saint dies, an angel gets us. And it says, and takes him to Abraham's bosom. You see, they in a little better shape than you and I. We still hurting. We still battling. You know, we still struggling. They in good shape. And Jesus says, you know, they marveled that God had given Jesus these powers. And Jesus says, don't marvel not at that. The hour is coming. See, the day is coming in which all that are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. I can't picture it. I don't know how in the world it's going to happen. But every time when I think about all them angels with him, it gets easy. Because they strong and powerful and mighty. And can move around in way in ways we can't even dream of. So he's got to get billions out of Hades. The good people and the bad people. Everybody's got to come up. Says all that are in the graves will hear his voice when he shows back up and says, you know, they'll hear his voice and come forth.
all the dead people.
Adam and Eve, you know, Melchizedek, Abraham, everybody will come forward. You tell me that ain't a great day. All those, see, and out of existence, don't you let Jehovah's Witness or anybody convince you that when you die, that's it. That is not so. One, you'd be missing out on one of the best things I can even imagine is to get in Abraham's bosom. See, while God is being long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, well, see, them people, they down there, they done did their work. They in good shape. I mean, see, it's you and I. We don't know what lies ahead. You know, we don't know if we're going to be speaking Chinese one day. We don't know what our children got ahead of them. They in good shape. See, when you die in the Lord, like Paul said, I'm in a betwixt between the two. He says to die is gain. He says it's far better, is how he described it. All that are in, see, they're waiting too. They're waiting the resurrection. They just in a good shape. This day, Jesus says, you'll be with me in paradise. It's a good shape. They in good shape. Our fellow soldiers, those that have gone on and preceded us in death. There's a great day coming without question. Guess what else? We will all be changed. The new bodies, see, Paul explained that in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, here he says now, there's no way that these bodies, these mortal bodies, can inherit eternity. He said, don't work like that. He says, we'll all be changed. See, he says, for this mortality must put on immortality. See, we have to get fashioned to live in eternity. We're not set up right now. It's dust. Can't last in eternity. And he says, for I tell you a mystery, he says, in 51 of chapter 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Now, that's kind of scary, ain't it? We change. the Spirit, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. You know, he shared it with us that there'll be some that are alive and remain, and he says, but now we'll all be changed. So everybody will die in that sense of putting off where our spirits will leave this body, because we got to get fashioned for eternity. Put on our new clothes, our new suit, if you will. And we'll see him as he is, John explains. And we'll meet him in the sky, so I take it that all this will be before the world gets burned up. See? Because the dead in Christ shall rise and first. And then Paul says, and we who are alive, and you notice he included himself. You know, that's sobering, because them guys, even when they living in the first century, they knew he might show up now. They were ready. See, Paul says, and we who are alive, and he included himself. It's been 2,000 years. No Jesus yet. You know, a great day is coming when we get our new bodies. That's a big part of getting to heaven, is getting fashioned to live in eternity, to be like our Savior, our Lord, like Christ. For we shall see him as he is. Finally, we get to see Jesus. What a great day. Well, what else is so great about it? I'll tell you something that's great about it. Satan finally gets his. That's what's great about it. The old devil, the bad guy, the pitchfork guy, the bad, evil, wicked, roaring lion, like a roaring lion. He finally gets his on that day. Jesus says to those, to the goats, "Depart from me, you wicked." Matthew 25. Depart into the everlasting fire. But look, prepare for the devil and his angels. See, the judgment day, that day doesn't impress us that way. See, there's a place built for the bad people, prepared for them. Now, we got a kingdom that's been prepared for up from the foundations of the world, before the foundations. And then here's a place built for all the bad people and the leader of the bad people, you might say. The real leader of the free world, you see. The evil liar, as Jesus called him, the father of lies. He's a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. See, the hater of families, the killer of children, but him, he finally gets his. John sees it. John sees what happens to the devil. John says, now, John sees him being cast into. Now, John, this is imagery. You know, John sees the devil getting cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. John gets a glimpse of him getting his, and he shares it with us. Revelation chapter 20. That's a great day. The destroyer of our own brethren, our own people, families, of lives, he finally gets his on that day. Yes, a great day indeed. Well, who's going to judge us? Well, it depends on what part of the Bible you read. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Romans 14:12 says, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." And there is no creature, Hebrews 4 says, hidden in his eyes or in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God the Father sees everything. He'll judge us. To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of men made perfect. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's who will judge us. And so will his Son. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the holy angels with him and the nations, and he'll sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. So, God the Father will judge us. Jesus the Christ will judge us. And I guess to reconcile it all, God, according to Acts, has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts chapter 17. He will judge the world in righteousness, and it says, by the man whom he has appointed. So God will judge us, the world, by Christ. And he has given assurance of that by raising him from the dead. Yeah, there's a great day coming. And we'll be judged by God. We'll be judged by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. Well, what about the standard? Is it going to be fair? Well, I'd like to submit to you that the very words that men have mocked, and scorned, rejected, made fun of, made light of, added to, subtracted from, will be the standard. Jesus says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Now, judge him when? In the last day. See, the judgment day. It all shows up. See? Now, you might get by today. You might do something and it not get brought up. But it will on that day. Good or bad. It'll show up on that day. There is a great day coming. The day that ends all days. See, Jesus says, the words that I've spoken shall judge him in the last day. That's it. No more days. Lord, have we not done a lot in your name? Well, too late, ain't it? See? Too late. See, that plea, it won't work. What meets you at the judgment is your works, what we do. And here's people, now they did stuff, but they didn't have any Bible authority for it. And guess what happens when they get there before the judgment? That shows up. There it is. And then the pleading starts. And to no avail. Remember what Jesus says, depart from me. Boy, we don't even want to think about those. You know, I didn't even want our lesson to emphasize that part of it, because let's just do what's right and we'll be fine. See, let's be careful that we insist upon book, chapter, and verse for what we do. Let's be careful that we serve Christians, that we leave to serve, and particularly Christians. See, it shows up how we treat each other and what we do for each other. You know, I thought about Gwen and Mike. Now, you know, boy, if you're going to go, you want to go out, going to a gospel meeting on a long journey to support your brothers and sisters in Christ, support a preacher. So, boy, if you're going to go now, that, you got a bunch piled up on that. He counts the miles now. Tim said something about Paul. Some estimated he went 10,000 miles. Well, he's in good shape. That's a lot of miles for Christ. That's a lot of driving, as they say. That's a lot of wheels. So every trip, every support, every act of kindness, every feed the preacher, it'll meet you in the judgment day. Don't worry. You might forget, right? The saints get there, and Jesus says, come, ye blessed. And they say, now, when did we help? When did we come to see you in prison? And Jesus said, oh, when you help the Christians. See, we don't even know a lot of times the good we might do. And it gets there and it'll meet us there. We're in good shape. When we get there, just do good. And, you know, you might get there, right? And you find out, oh, we did all, oh, we did this. But Jesus said, that's what Jesus said. Thank you for feeding me. They said, well, when did we feed you? Oh, and for coming to visit me in prison. When? You see? And he said, oh, when you went to see the Christians. Boy, be careful what we do. Do lots for Christians, for each other. And we do. Here, that's one of the strengths of this congregation, is our care and concern for each other, and try to help each other out in a bind, when each other's in a bind. Keep on keeping on. There's a great day coming, without question. And, the books will be open. John sees it. John says, and I saw the dead small and great standing, you see. Wow. And he says, and books were open. And he says, and another book was open, which is the book of life. Well, you can read about both. You know, the book of life, Paul referred, he says, whose names, you know, he mentioned some Christians, and he says, and whose names are written in the book of life. But what about these other books? And books were open. Well, John says he saw, and the dead were judged by the things done in the body according to these books. I'd like to suggest that that's the book of Adam and Eve. You know, Adam and Eve's got a book. You know, don't eat of the fruit. Be fruitful and multiply. Melchizedek got a book. You know, here's how you do priestly behaviors. Abraham's book. Abraham, go, get up and go into another nation. I'm going to give you a lot. That'll be there. And of course, Jesus says now, he who rejects me, receiveth not my words, has that which judges him. The words that I've spoken to you shall judge in the last day. You know, our book will be open, the New Testaments, for you and I, will be open. John said, and the dead were judged by the things in the book, and books will be opened. What a great day. Now, we love this book. This is a good book to us. We love these words. We want to try to do what they say. And when we fail, we can read, he's made provisions even when we fail. Now, look, dear children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sins, we have an advocate. We love him words because we know we make mistakes, and yet he's made good provisions for us. This book tells us that. We can count on that. And the books were open. See? So all the books will be open. See, God ain't going to pull the New Testament out on Adam and says, no, you didn't get baptized. And we're not going to show up. And he says, did you eat that fruit? See, where there is no law, there is no transgression. See, so the books I'd like to suggest is the laws that God has given for mankind since the beginning of time. John sees man being judged by what God has said to him. But we don't have anything to fear if we've served God faithfully. Our time is up. There's a great day coming, but for you and I, we look forward to that day. We look forward to it in great anticipation, even. Peter spoke of it, and he talked about, in view of this day, how you and I ought to behave. I'm going to close with what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Jehovah's Witness is going to be disappointed. Now they think that when he shows up, he just going to pure it. He going to clean things up, make it nice for them down here. But Peter says, the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. But the earth, both the earth and the works that are in it, will be burned up. Therefore, he says, since all these things will be dissolved, this is for you and I. Now think, he says, now all of this is going to be gone. And he says, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? See, that's our perspective. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which, he says, the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. See? That's why this lesson, we got a lot of, even though it's a great day, we've got a lot to look forward to on that day. But be diligent, he says, to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord, and we need to be so thankful. If the Lord had come back and caught me in some of the mess I pulled, are you kidding me? We ought to be so thankful. One, that he's delayed his coming and given us time to get out of jams, binds, when we've fallen, when we've been weak, all these things. God is good. And this is what Peter is saying. And Peter says, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. See, I'm glad that he's held out. And I'm glad to be standing where I am today. And he says, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. If you're visiting with us and you're not a Christian, I'd encourage you to think soberly about what we just discussed. And if you're here and you're a faithful servant of God, peace be with you. You've got nothing to worry about as it relates to this day. It's actually a day to look forward to. And if you hadn't been, we can start anticipating, looking forward to his return and the day that we'll get our new bodies, that we can be meet our Savior in the clouds. You know, to can't picture it, but just to meet him in the sky, to see him as he is, and then ultimately to get back to that place again, new heavens, new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. But the lesson is yours, and I appreciate the time to discuss these things, and it means more among the group here at East Abilene. Thank you for this time, and may God bless you.